Loud.
Back to the weekly roast. How's it going, guys?
How the hell are you?
How are your hearts? And of course, how are your heads? Guys, what's going on? It's very good to be sitting here today. I'm very grateful for the chair that I occupy, and I'm grateful for the opportunity to be speaking to you here every single week. I do genuinely want to thank you for listening. I know people get sick of the perennial thank yous, the limitless, endless thank yous. They get bored by them, but the reality is that none of these lovely things would be happening if it wasn't for you listening every week. So I do just want to say thank you so much. January was the highest month we've ever had for the podcast. Woo! So it's hugely exciting. So I'm not going to lie to you, right? Well, firstly, I'm joined here by Emma Nolan.
Emma
Nolan, great to see you.
Thank you.
I have been deliberating for the entire weekend as to whether or not to say this.
Oh?
Yeah.
Something to me.
Well, to you and to the listeners, but I feel like this is a podcast that roasts things. I love getting up my high horse. I love roasting things. It's only fair if I share with you the bad as well as the good. It's all, you know, it's all fun and games sitting in talking about the growth of the podcast and all of the exciting things ahead. But I also have to share with you some of the pitfalls of existing as Mark Megan. Okay, let me just get into it. On Friday, there was a meeting for the weekly roast, okay? It was comfortably the biggest meeting I've ever been in about me in my life.
Yay!
So it was like, it was, to be honest, without being too earnest, it was like a pinch me moment. Sitting in, it was offside, so it wasn't in HQ here. It was in a hotel, boardroom rented out, the Mark Megan branding up on the wall, and like different departments from Bauer all sitting around, and Go Loud sitting around the table. So it was like, it was a very cool and surreal moment of, you know, wow, this is actually all coming together. Like, it was great. And as somebody who, you know, anybody out there who's like done anything in music or comedy or anything creative, you'll know that like the majority of your life is waiting for the phone to ring and just knocking on doors and not hearing back and all the rest. So
honestly, same in like radio, all that kind of stuff. That's not a guarantee. Like, you're just, it's constant hustling, isn't it?
It's everything's uncertain.
Yeah.
So you can't, you very infrequently actually enjoy the wins because it's like, well, who knows what's going to happen next month. But so this was like a great moment where we were taking, it was the review basically of 2024, and then it was like exciting plans being pitched for the future, and you had like the commercial team, you had the marketing team, then you had the events team.
Yeah.
You had three executive producers, right? Because I'm a freak, in my head in those situations, I sort of go, this is all great. I wonder how you could destroy it. Like, that's the anxiety that anybody with anxiety would know. Oh, that's a perfectly lovely afternoon out there now. I wonder what could go wrong. Mm. I swear in my life this is true. And I'm just glad that you haven't heard it from somebody else yet.
Sorry.
I swear on my life this is true, and I'm actually going fucking crimson even thinking about it. I was in the boardroom and at one point they were like, Mark, how does that sound? Because we were talking about commercial stuff, and we've signed a deal that's kicking in April with, it's all very exciting, with a sponsor. I was in the middle of talking.
No.
And I farted.
Mark.
I swear to God. I'm fucking going red. I'm sweating thinking about it.
How loud was it?
It was the worst moment of my life. It was loud enough, and then I addressed it.
No, you didn't.
Well, nobody said anything.
Mark.
I just panicked and I was like, excuse me about that. Excuse me about that. Like,
no.
Fucking...
No.
It was, I'm literally rouge.
I guarantee.
I remember looking and locking eyes with one of the executive producers, and my voice started like shaking. I was like, well, like, as the deal will kick in April. And then I was like darting around the entire room going, nobody's saying anything. And like, I swear to God, it was the worst moment of my life.
Wow.
It was the worst. That has never happened to me before. Obviously.
Okay, listen, sound is one thing. Was it a pongy one?
No, Jesus, no. But it was just like, it was just the most embarrassing, like fucking granddad. Like, I was moving in my chair, because I move a lot in my chair, and literally move, and then it was just like, embarrassment. I told Darren, and she was like, get it together. Like, we're getting divorced. The mentioning it apparently is the worst thing to do. Apparently I should have just acted like, as my best friend Stuart said, he goes, if you didn't acknowledge it, at least there was a chance that people would second guess themselves and say, no, surely not. Surely a functional member of society wouldn't just fucking, excuse my language, fart in the middle of a meeting.
Yeah.
So yeah,
it's incredible.
It's the worst thing that's ever, I about seven different times over the weekend. Do you ever get when you have something embarrassing, you'll just be like hoovering the house or doing the dishwasher, you just go, oh God, no, out loud. You just get a memory.
All the time. And this is a memory from when I was probably 7 years old. Same vibe. Fourth class, in that really awkward place when you're, you know, everything makes me embarrassed.
Yeah.
Everything makes me go red. It was particularly bad in those days. My ears would go bright red. It just gave me away all the time.
Blossoming into a beautiful flower.
Yeah, it was awful. But this was the, okay, go down to your mall now and take out your books, right? So as I'm leaning down,
oh, no.
7 years old, 8 years old, big, big old fart, right?
For fuck's sake.
So I'm down getting the old copybook out and I just go, oh, like FM actual L. And as I'm going back up, the whole class is erupting.
No,
I'm going red. And to this day, a kid called Tomas, who was sitting beside me, said, yeah, that was me.
What? Oh my God. Gashka Award, Medal of Honor, keys to the city, keys to somewhere else. That is, go on, Tomas.
Tomas owned it. He was my little pal. We sat beside each other. He went, I don't know. That was me.
Nevertheless, welcome to the Weekly Roast. It's great to have you here. That was a humiliating and genuinely true moment that occurred to me last week, but I felt like I should share it with you all. Guys, it's the roast of mental parenting. If you enjoy the show, do me a huge favor and share it with a friend. It's the greatest way for us to grow. And lastly, if you enjoyed today's podcast, send me a DM on Instagram at Megan Mark. Some people were asking about how to get questions in. You can do that on Instagram. Just send me a message and you can suggest topics, etc., etc. Let's get into it.
Well, Mark, how's it going? Big fan of the podcast. I was teaching a student there a couple of years ago and their mom had a fair bit of work done. And again, you know, the child is grand, but I was going about my business at work one day and one of the teaching assistants said to me, oh, you know, so-and-so, their mom gives them milk baths every single night. I was like, really, how do you know that? And they're like, oh, the child told me. And they're like, but not only that, but mom also makes this child point her nose up for a few minutes every day so that she doesn't get her original nose as well. Now, again, this is a very trustworthy teaching assistant as well. And having met mom, it really doesn't surprise me.
Who the fuck does she think she is? Cleopatra? Nightly baths and milk. One for my history book. That's my name, by the way, Mark Anthony.
Is it?
From Mark Anthony and Cleopatra.
No way.
Not Jessica. No, Jennifer Lopez's ex-husband, who I think was a bit of a pervert in the end. Nevertheless, not a fan of baths in general, I'll be honest.
Mm.
Being a grown man and having a bath is a very humbling experience, particularly the sort of when you've taken your clothes, like my whole sort of modus operandi as an adult is to be as nude as little as possible. That's just, you
really?
Know, surgery max, maybe surgery.
Okay. Don't like the nip.
No, don't like it. I don't like being exposed. I don't like being, just not a fan. I sleep with socks on, as is often discussed and ridiculed. Do you, yeah?
Yeah, I love it.
Yeah. I get ridiculed for it on the show, but apparently, but anyway, it's a thing. I don't like being nude. Being nude standing beside a bath is a sort of aimless type of nakedness that is particularly harrowing because you sort of catch like the side of your ass in the faucet and you're like, oh, good stuff. I'm 55 now all of a sudden. Do you know? I'm just not meant to be casually nude. Like, it's just not the way that I'm designed. So, and then also when you get the temperature, you know, when you get the temperature of the bat wrong and it's too hot and you stand in it, your fucking ankles go red and you're just standing there bollock naked waiting for the bath to cool down to like a submergible temperature. And then it's just like the whole thing. It's like it gets lukewarm and bland, like a forgotten cup of tea. And you sit there stewing. I hate baths. And you always have to have a bath. You have to have a shower after the bath. It's not for me.
No. And I also will say baths are boring. They're fun for the first 5 minutes. Right?
45 seconds.
Yeah. And then I'm like, that was a waste of water and the tank. I'm bored now.
It's the same as fireworks or going to Dubai. Fun for probably 45 seconds.
Yeah.
I don't understand how you could ever need to go to more than one firework display. Do you want to go down and see the New Year's fireworks? No, saw them 1 year, 7 years ago. That was enough. There's the firework technology hasn't advanced in... Oh, but they use drones. I don't care. Fucking Camille Thai uses drones. It keeps me up all night. So good luck. nevertheless, the mum is obviously alone. And God love her, because I think the whole thing about turning up the nose is obviously there's the snobbery element there in a physical sense, but there's also just like rooted in that is assumingly some sort of dissatisfaction with their own self.
Absolutely. And the poor child walking around with the head up in the sky, that's terrible.
So the child is going to inherit the mum's self-loathing, which is a shame. So parents can have a big effect. As somebody without any children, and Emma, you don't have any kids, don't you?
No, no.
Two people without any children, I feel like we're best equipped to judge and give advice on parenting.
Amen.
But the effect that parents can have on their kids is complete insanity. I remember growing up, we had this guy in our school and his dad was one of those dads that, like, he always used to hang out with us. You know, you'd go to the house and he'd be like, so gang, you know, he'd use words like, dude. You're like, you're 44, Kieran. Like, do you know what I mean? Go back to your car. And one time we went over and we were watching Scream. You know the movie Scream?
Oh, yeah, terrifying at that age.
And the dad in the middle of the... Sorry, we're watching Scream and in the middle of the movie, we're all like scared enough, but pretending we're not scared because we're like 10 or 11. The dad snuck around the outside of the gaff and went up to the window in a Scream mask and banged on it. Scared the living daylights out of us, right?
Can I imagine?
Most scariest thing in the world. 6 weeks later, we're watching Braveheart. He just starts smearing his arse all up against the glass, all up against
no,
the window.
Didn't.
I promise you. And we're just like, okay. Yeah, that's the thing. And then eventually just like a little skid mark gets left on the...
No.
Okay, let's go.
So, not my story, but a pal of mine's sister-in-law had a booby milky party for her five-year-old as she was going to school and getting weaned. And all of the family were invited to participate in the bye-bye booby party. When you can request it, it's too old. Sorry, not sorry.
That is derangement level. I mean, everybody invited to participate. No, they weren't.
I feel like if I didn't see the message that came through that you sent me, I would say that this is fake. It's unbelievable that she had a booby party, a booby milk party. I don't.
Well, sorry. Oh, okay, guys, hands up. Who's here for the booby milk party? Liam, the father of the groom. Do you know what I mean? I'll go first, Melanie. Liam, relax. It's sort of a baby's only thing. Do you know what I mean? Sorry, did I ever tell you? I saw a woman getting kicked off the Lewis in Dublin, southside Dublin, between Dublin and Dundrum. I saw a woman getting kicked off the Lewis last year for breastfeeding.
By who?
I know.
By the driver?
I was like, fucking hell, I'm thirsty. Chill. Classic, just a classic boob humour there for the gang.
Do you remember the first time you ever saw a child being breastfed though? It blew my mind. I remember my second cousin was visiting from Canada. I must have been like maybe 9 or 10 and she was breastfeeding her newborn and I just popped in. So I was just a kid like being like, night guys, and I was like, oh wow, that's interesting. It's fascinating, isn't
it? I remember thinking that you could just do it then like on demand, sort of like a Guinness tap that wankers get for their houses and then tell you about for 15 minutes. And you're like, I don't care.
Yeah.
You know that like, yeah, so it's not like the Guinness guys like, yeah, like it doesn't actually pour the exact same as one in Slattery's, but like if you get the Nitro Booster, it's fairly like you still get a good decent head on it. You sound like someone who hasn't had head in about 17 years, Barry. This is so boring. Why are you wearing a gilet inside? I think, yeah, booby parties, that couldn't be a thing. I mean, by the way, respect the breasts and all the rest, but like, Jesus Christ, you're not having a booby party. You're not inviting people to participate. If so, Kieran will be at the top of the queue. Good. Sorry. No, you can't. Nevertheless.
Hey, Mark, what's the crack? My uncle was at one of my cousin's football matches and he was giving the ref dog's abuse, so he was kind of going, oh, fuck's sake, ref, fuck's sake, fuck ref, I'm blinding. And basically, the ref eventually goes, I've had enough, go back to your car, I've had enough of listening to you, that kind of thing. So my uncle goes back to his car, drives it up to the sideline of the football match, and proceeds to do the exact same thing, shouting out the window of his car, ah, oh, fuck's sake, ref.
Like, shouting out the window of your car like Ace Ventura, do you know what I mean? Or an uncultured person in a limousine.
Mm.
What is it with people in limousines thinking that shouting out the window makes you jealous of them in the limousine? You've just revealed to me that you are the opposite of somebody who should be in a limousine.
Yeah.
I'm in a limo! Good stuff. Have a great debs. like, okay, the pulling up the car is mental. It also reminds me of, we got one yesterday from a woman and it was like, hubby got sent to the car by the ref at Suns match, so he held his hand on his horn for the rest of the game.
Ah, come on, who's the kid here?
Like, usually when you hear about men holding their horns beside local sports pitches, it's off the back of a serious court case or an allegation. Do you know what I mean? Beeping the horn for the duration of the match is unbridled levels of mental. Like, that is, I don't know what would have to be going on in the brain of that man for him to be happy, you know, for people to, like, everybody's witnessing that. Like, you're not winning. It's like people who get angry in text messages and write everything in caps lock.
Mm.
This isn't proving your point. This is proving to me that you're incapable of processing emotions. Do you know what I mean? This man needs to be scooped up in a human-sized butterfly net by four orderlies before being locked in a padded cell and forced to engage in rigorous therapy. Like, what, just sitting, sort of performing CPR on the horn of a Vectra. Do you know what I mean? What the hell is going on here? Einstein famously said that the definition of insanity is repeating the same thing over and over again.
Really?
And expecting different reactions. I don't think he had seen a suburban dad in a fucking Kia holding the horn down for 35 minutes though, because that comes pretty close. And it just goes back to, there is no confidence like the confidence of a South Dublin man at the sidelines of a sports pitch with endless opinions and zero experience. I think I've told this story in the podcast before, but it was before your time.
Tell me.
In our school, right? Back pitches, 2004, 2005, the good old days before the music stopped. There's a kid on the pitch in a rugby match, dislocates his hip.
Oh.
Screaming, writhing in pain. Everyone's like, oh God. It was one of those ones where you could actually fucking hear the screams just echo around the sports ground. It was grim. This dad on the sidelines, oh yeah, I'll go over there. Give me a hand there. I'll just head in. Ross, is it? Yeah, how are you? Yeah, I'll. You're just going to dislocate the hip there. All you need to do is pop it back in.
Oh, no, he didn't.
Are you a doctor?
Bets and bobs.
You're an accountant. He pops the guy's...
Oh, Jesus.
Hip back in, right? What he hasn't accounted for, if you'll allow the pun, is that the kid's testicle was left over to the left side of his leg and got caught between the hip and the joint as he was popping it back into
place. No, he did.
And thus got crushed. Genuinely, you could hear the screams of Vincent's. Neck. He was across the road from Vincent's house.
His
balls got stuck between his hip. His ball...
So were they redundant from that young of an age?
I mean, I didn't... I didn't follow up with the higher Ross.
Oh my God.
Yeah, it was hard to tell with the wheelchair. So, no, but do you know what I mean? Like.
Oh my God, that poor child.
I've never seen, the only time I've seen a greater South Dublin male howler, and I will remember this one. I'm not saying this because this is funny, by the way. I'm saying this because this is shocking. When I was like 14, I was invited to stay with a friend of mine's family for New Year's down in Kerry. And we were sitting around their house and they'd invited two other couples.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the couples there, this guy was just the most boring guy. Like, we were at the age 14, 15, so we were able to have like dinner with the parents. We weren't like drinking or anything. But you'd sort of want to be at the adult's table, but then you realise this is all boring.
Yeah.
But one of the parents of the couple, this boring couple, like, he'd be like, oh, I noticed that you've got a Sanyo remote there for the TV, Bernard. Yeah, interesting that the Sanyo factory, they used to be based in Moscow, but then they sort of relocated the whole operation to Belarus. And ever since, there's a slightly different, you know, just...
I want to bang my head off
just
the table already.
So boring. So it's New Year's Eve, we're sitting around the table and your man, the dishwasher's on in the kitchen, right? And your man goes, yeah, Bernard, I'm just noticing that's the Bosch VSCT used as a dishwasher. And you can see the other couple. The guy, the other couple, is like this big classic, like South Dublin rugby allocadoo, like, yeah, how's it going on? Yeah, you know, one of these guys. Oh, just like you, Mark, brilliant. But you can see he's getting irate and just, he's sick of these fucking tidbits of information about home appliances. Anyway, your man goes, yeah, I see you're using the Bosch V3PR. It's funny about the Bosches, they actually don't have the same whir as a Whirlpool. So like the Bosch one is just a very light little whir, which is why we're having dinner here and you can barely even hear the thing in the background. And your man across just goes, oh, that's very interesting. What was his name again? I don't know. He's like, I don't know. That's very interesting, Tim. Yeah. We've got an unbelievable dishwasher. Doesn't make a sound at all. And he goes, oh, really? Yeah. And he goes, yeah, she's from the Philippines. She comes in twice or three times a week. I was appalled. Knives and forks dropped. The couple were like, how dare you? And rightfully so, by the way. Wow. And got up, and there was this whole thing, and me and my mate were just sitting there like, good stuff.
Wow. And happy new year.
Guys, thank you so much for listening to the Weekly Roast. I hugely appreciate it. I hugely appreciate it. And so does my producer, Emma Nolan. You're very, very welcome. It's great to be here, guys. Listen, it's part two of mental parenting. Let's get into it.
At a festival years ago, my friend and I were having a ball, and we kind of kept seeing this family that were out with their child, probably around 3 or 4. Anyway, kept seeing them in different places. As the night went on, we were like, oh God, that looks like a nightmare. Hate to have a child with me. Fast forward to 3 a.m. and things were getting very leery in the woods. Music blaring, people wearing horse head masks. We were kind of getting pretty freaked out. And then the next thing, the family go by and we look down and they have the toddler asleep in a wheelbarrow. And obviously we looked really shocked, and a friend of the parents then trailed behind and just kind of went, oh, he was having so much fun. He didn't want to miss anything. Woo!
Good luck. Emma Nolan, give me your thoughts.
It upsets me so much seeing kids at music festivals, man. I think there's a place for them at certain ones, like, you know, has a great kids area and all.
At the Glendalough Arts and Hobby Festival, maybe. Mm. Not fucking Fred again at Electric Picnic on the Sunday night at 1 a.m.
It's terrible, because when you are like leery and a bit drunk and looking for chips at 2 a.m. at Electric Picnic, heading back to your tent covered in muck, like, it's not nice to be greeted by the little gorgeous eyes of a 4-year-old. You're just like, ah, Jesus, I'm fecking him and stuff. I don't know. It's just not, it's not good for the people that are there. It's obviously not good for the kids. Very quickly, we were all together now last summer, and my sister is a mum. She's got 2 little kids, and we were walking by. It was my sister's first time ever at a festival with me. She kind of spent just one day and one night. And the second morning, we were walking down to get some food, and there was this little boy. He couldn't be more than 2.5, maybe, walking behind his mum, who had a younger baby in her arms. It was like day 3 at this stage. And like, the little kid was bawling because he was obviously wrecked on his legs. And I swear it ruined my whole day just thinking about him.
Yeah.
Do you know? Yeah. Like, fucking hell.
Okay, so firstly, I think people that make going to festivals their personality, just good luck. Do you know what I mean? What is it with the captions that people use after music? Oh, my heart is full. Yeah, of ketamine. Maybe. Do you know what I mean? Other things as well. Like, just... You know when you see people and they put up this like, it's the greatest 3 days with the greatest crew.
I'm that asshole.
You went to a music festival for 48 hours. You're not fucking Barry Farmer from Glastonbury, whatever the farmer's name is, set up Glastonbury. I'll never remember his name. Do you know what I mean? Just because you put a bit of glitter on your face and MDMD up your bum. Do you know what I mean? MDM, what's it called? I'm having a howler here today. But I just don't understand. Why is it that people who go to festivals, they have to make it, they can't just do the act and accept it for what it is. They have to make it look like there's a deeper thing that you just wouldn't get, Mark. And they put up the album and it's like, Moments by Me at EP. Moments by Me sounds like if Daniel O'Donnell was to release an aftershave. Do you know? It's just Moments. Moments by Me. Moments is like a hashtag that the Maltesers advertising department tried to get off the ground for middle-aged women who are a bit of crack to have an afternoon fucking bit of chocolate. Bringing the baby to the festival. The headphones won't stop them seeing somebody take an ecstasy tab like a suppository. Do you know what I mean? The headphones aren't going to prevent or protect them from Aphex Twin doing a pots and pans set at 4 a.m. in the woods. Like, this is not a place for a child. Oh, yeah, he just didn't want to miss out the crack. You know that your baby toddler does not have any idea who DJ Shadow is, okay? Like, just get... I know that you're now in your late 30s and you're reluctant to let go of your youth and recede into the oncoming train of middle age or forest or whatever of... I don't know. I just... Don't bring a baby to a festival. And also, I'm just going to hit... This is the reality. I went to Electric Picnic 2 years ago. And by the way, I think Electric Picnic is unbelievable. And the bookers always nail it. Every year, there is a cacophony of imbeciles coming out saying, oh, there's no... The acts aren't good. The acts are always unbelievable.
Yeah, they are, yeah.
But walking into Electric Picnic at the age of 30, one, it's sort of like when you're 9 or 10 and you sort of want to... Like discussed, you want to graduate from the kids' table at dinner party, at your family get-togethers, but you're sort of, there's not enough room on the adults table. So you sort of hover between both and you find yourself caught in this horrendous like half-life where I either have to sit like near the kids table and listen to my ratty cousin Lucas from Meath make up weird lies like that he's best friends with Simon Zeebo, you know, or he can hold his breath for 8 hours in the swimming pool on holidays, or I have to just hover around the adults table and wonder why my Uncle Declan begins every sentence with, "Now look, I'm not racist, but..." Do you know what I mean? So that's what... When you go... You reach an age when you go to a festival and you just... It's not for me.
Just to say, I feel personally attacked because I am the person being like, you just don't get it on that level. It's just amazing.
So are you one of those people that like goes to a music festival and is like, see you later, reality?
Yeah. I'm sorry.
Are you big into the gear like?
No, Mark!
Because I can help. There's a book you can buy.
That's not what it is.
Emma, how many have you had today, Chief?
Feck
off. I noticed the smell when you came in.
Sure.
This isn't geography class in fourth class. Those little fucking Smirnoff. No. Smirnoff? Let's go.
So when I was in sixth year, now part of the Leaving Cert, you have to do projects for certain subjects which are worth 20%. And so my friend's parents were obsessed with her getting good scores. They literally didn't, like, she didn't even care. They were just obsessed. They had her in maths grinds from fourth year. Every single summer course, Easter course, Christmas course, DSOG has to offer. She was doing biology grants. She was doing the whole lot. They were desperate for her to get all the H1s. And her dad specifically wanted a H1 in economics. That was his goal, not her goal, his goal. And essentially, when it came to time to do the economics project, he got one of his young intern staff and told them that as a part of a company project, he needed to start researching, I think it was airlines or something that she was doing. And so for 5.5 weeks, maybe longer, he researched and completed her whole entire Leaving Cert economics project for her. And yeah, got sent away. I'm pretty sure she got about 18% in it out of the 20. So it worked in her favour. But yeah, that Leaving Cert project was completed by a 26-year-old man who was told he was doing work for the business.
That is... When you hear stories like that, you understand the overarching national resentment towards South Dublin people. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I think that's sort of like, that is a nail in the head. That's like, yeah, that's sort of why we don't like you, Mark. I mean, people. Mental. Thoughts?
It just makes the whole thing so bloody unfair, doesn't it?
It's outrageous. In terms of parents calling in favours, none of these stories today put me in any way in a good light, but that's the reality of my complicated and checkered past. Growing up, obviously, I had ADHD, okay? Didn't get diagnosed, but I was losing things all the time. And we'll get to the other symptoms on another day, but one of the main things was just like constantly losing things all the time.
Mm.
I had really bad luck with ID whenever I was 17, because we're going into nightclubs and I would be bringing in my passport. Or, sorry, 18, in sixth year, and I'd be bringing in my passport. Long story short, I lost a passport. Wasn't good. Got it renewed. And this is back when, like, the passport office, like, nowadays, let's be honest, the passport office is potentially the best and, like, most capable functioning public fucking body. It's the only thing that were, it's unbelievable. If you work in the passport office, fair play. And actually the marriage office, they were so good. But anyway, I lost the passport, had to apply, blah, 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 got a new one. Then I went away on my summer holidays, lost that. And then my mum sat me down and was like, "This is your third passport in a year. You are not to touch this because, like, you're going to get, like, I think you could only get 3 passports or something before." Anyway, what did I do? I went out. I lost.
Ah, fuck.
3 passports gone. My mum, obviously, really upset, blah, blah, blah. Gets on to the passport office. They're like, "We can give him a 1-year passport." Because the thing is, they have to, like, treat it as if you're a risk or you're selling them or something.
Mm.
So they're like, "We'll give you a 1-year passport. That's the best they can do." I go out and I lose it.
Ah, Mark.
So this now, my mum was like, "I don't know what to do with you anymore." I've never been as more, like, serious, serious trouble about this. 4 passports in the space of a year. Eventually, my mum realised that she knows somebody who can help her out, because they were refusing to deal with me at this point.
Mm.
So they get into the passport office, blah, blah, blah. And the woman in there is like, "Right, I will write him a temporary passport for, like, I think it was a year again. But you need to not go near this unless you're traveling, because only then can we reissue you an actual passport."
Mm.
All the rest. my mum takes it and is like, you're not fucking touching this unless you go on holidays. I'm hiding this in the house, Grant. So she hid in the house where she hid other things that I also stole, like cigarettes and all the rest. And that night, I swear to God, that night, everyone was going out to Crawdaddy. And I took the passport. To this day, I will never forget. I was sitting in, those of you who might remember who grew up in Dublin, Crawdaddy was part of Tripod. It was a nightclub. I was sitting on a couch kissing somebody for all my bloody sins. And mid-kiss, I remember going, right, just pat the back of your arse to make sure that your passport's still there.
Gone.
Gone. Like, absolute panic. Was like, oh God, I'm fucked. I've never been more fucked. My mum didn't know that I'd stolen the passport.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So I was like, "You're the losing of the passport's one thing, but also the deceit and the cheat and the lying and all the rest. I know that this is bad. This is really bad, by the way. And I've never done anything like it since. I thought the only way of getting out of this would be to beat myself up and to pretend that I was mugged.
Mark. Ah, come on.
True story. So.
No, you didn't.
I went home.
Don't ever do this, people.
I got branches and foliage and stuff from the bushes outside and rubbed them all over my... As if, by the way, muggers were walking up and down Harcourt Street with, you know, a wheelbarrow full of
mud. Give me your passport.
Give me your passport. But anyway, rub all this mud over my face, punch myself, try and scrape my arm off rocks. Complete and utter insanity, okay? Throw away my house keys. Into the front door, banging on the door. My mum's fast asleep. I'm going, Mom! Mom! And she's literally coming down the stairs. She goes, where's your fucking keys? And then she sees me. She goes, oh, Mark! Slides down the banisters like a fireman. Opens the door. And I'm like, Mom! I've been mugged. And she was like, oh, Mark, come in. Grabs me around. And then she was like, oh, what did they get? And I was like, oh, my passport. She's like, ah! Like she falls onto the floor. No! I'm like, this is the worst. I was like, this is the worst thing, Mark. On the litany of prior offences, this is up there. Like, this is really not good. Watching your mum experience this pain, that is a lie. And then she goes, get in the shower. And I was like, what? Like, oh, you're in shock. I was like, I'm not in shock. This is all. And she was like, get up in the shower. I then have to go up and derobe in front of, I'm at the age of 18 and I have to derobe. And my mum's like, you need cold water, you lovey. You're in shock. And she's there showering me. Bollock naked at the age of 18. Like a prisoner in Shawshank getting the hose. Do you know what I mean? And she's literally sharing me down because she thinks I'm in shock and then comes down, puts like, dresses me. And I'm there going like, this is so bad, Mark. You can never tell anybody about this because of, she basically did everything that she possibly could to rescue me and mind me and then straight on to the guards. Of course, by the way, as it happens, the one time the fucking guards answer the phone, we're like, we'll be there in a jiffy. I'm like, oh, for the love of, and then this like, they started investigating it. And about 3 years later, I got a call from Harcourt Street Garda Station. I'm like,
hi, Mark. We've just checked the CCTV and we've actually found you leaving Crawdaddy, but we can't see any mugging. I was like, yeah, they must have gotten away. And he was like, according to my notes, you said that one of them was on crutches and the other was in a wheelchair. And I was like, yeah, yeah, sounds about right. And he was like, and did you not just like go the other way? I was like, no, that's just, yeah, that was what they did. And he was like, and they just took your passport. They didn't take your phone or money. He was like, yeah, quite. It was obviously a very specific type of heist that these guys are. So there you go. Sorry, Mum. Okay, let's go.
Hey, Mark. When I was in national school when I was a kid, this is back probably in the mid-90s, there was a lad I went to school with and his dad collected him. He was basically like in a state car. But he had a calf in the back of the car and he shouted out the window for the young lad to come on over that he was collecting him. It was time to go. And here's the back window of the car, open a little bit, and the snout of a calf sticking out of the back of it, mooing. And the lad I went to school with, he was absolutely disgusted with his dad, and what was he doing collecting him like this? And his dad roared at him to hurry up, that it was time to go, and he had to go to the vet on the way home with the calf. Absolutely bananas old fella, but it was hilarious at the time.
Thoughts? Cow sticking out the back window.
Rural Ireland, baby. Love it.
I don't think that that's that weird.
No, I don't think so either.
You know, I haven't had a bit of livestock sitting in the back seat since the last time I went to Copperface Jack's. Am I right, Emma Nolan? Aww. A bit of misogynistic banter. I've realised something before we get into this. So I appeared in a podcast last week, Ian Dempsey's podcast.
Legend.
The best of all time, potentially. Mm. When I get nervous, I revert to basically shit, cynical humour. Or not even cynical, sarcastic, like schoolyard dickhead humour.
Mm.
So I'm really nervous about it being released because I'm like, oh God, do I just come across like a complete... I struggle so much to be sincere on other people's podcasts.
I get it. Okay. But it's Ian Dempsey. He's the king.
He's the king. But I felt like a bloody... I just didn't know which... Because then he asked me about my book and the podcast. I'm like, no, they're two separate people. Please just... Yeah, do you know what I mean? They are very... It's like when I often get messages from somebody going like, listen, I'm really moved by the book. You know, I've had these experiences. Just going to listen to the episode of the podcast now. Slightly different thing.
Yeah, maybe. I don't think they even are in the same building.
Different universe.
Yeah.
Not even different pages, different libraries. I really struggle with just being myself, really.
That's so, all right, Mark.
Thank you, Emma.
We can only work towards that, isn't that it?
That's it. Progress, not perfection. Nevertheless, a cow in the back of the van or a back of the car. Yeah.
I'd be thrilled.
I don't think that's that. I'm not actually. I don't think that's embarrassing. I'm just surprised that calves go to normal vets. I would have thought they go to like a cow vet or something.
I had a guy in my school who was in my class, and he drove to school every day and parked with the rest of our normal cars in his tractor.
Fair play. Yeah. You see, I think that's just. Yeah, I don't find that weird. Somebody actually messaged me a while ago, and they're like, I have a farm, Mark. Would you come down and do a day's work for us for the crack? And I was thinking, that could be hilarious. Like, me, if you're listening and you've got a very unique job that you think I'd be absolutely horrific at, let me know and I will potentially come and do a day's work for you and we will do a little extra episode of the podcast. It could be like, just fish out of water sort of style thing. Did you go to national school, yeah?
Did I go to a national school?
Yeah.
Yeah, I did, yeah.
Which one?
In Waterford, you wouldn't know it.
What was his name?
St. Michael's.
St. Michael's. Interesting. I went to St. Bridget's.
Ah, St. Bridget. I spent a lot of my childhood on a farm.
Did you?
I moved from Dublin to Waterford when I was six, South Dublin as well, Terranure. And it went from, "Mam, where's Leisureplex?" to, "Will you go and help the local farmer move a load of sheep up the road?"
Yeah.
So
yeah.
But it was class.
Do you have any traumas from your national school or from growing up in like primary school that you don't remember?
The fart.
The fart's bad. I remember pissing, like, peeing your pants is pretty bad.
I've done. Oh yeah, the fruit when you were dragged into the, you had to put in the Fruit of the Loom trousers on. That was always the spares, wasn't it?
It was far worse for us. Peeing your pants in my school was like, well, firstly, it was like the gateway drug to a lifelong of low self esteem. Do you know what I mean? It's the sort of hash equivalent in shame. Do you know, pissing your pants in school, the familiarity, the warm familiarity as the feeling spreads across your thigh. But the worst thing about my school was whenever you pissed your pants, they take your trousers off, and there was only one radiator in the class.
No, they didn't,
and they'd sort of put the trousers up, like, and they were just the radiator was right beneath the crucifix, so the trousers were sort of stuck onto the end like an X, like you're sort of like vampires stop here, this is like a shrine to the urine gods, and you'd have to take your trousers off, and they didn't have spare trousers, so you just get a Tesco bag for life and put your thighs in each of the handles and have to sort of walk around with the bag for life in your arse like a sort of plastic sarong just in case you pissed yourself again. It was the worst thing ever.
It was, yeah.
And then going home, and I also wet the bed until like 9 and a half.
Okay.
Which was traumatizing for the head.
Yeah.
But I read one place somewhere that apparently geniuses wet the bed till they're really old. So that made me happy.
That makes sense then.
Yeah, but who wrote that? Clearly a 34-year-old who still wet the bed. Nevertheless. Oh, guys, I hope you're enjoying the weekly roast of mental parenting. If you do like the podcast, do me a favor, subscribe wherever you get your podcast. That means the episode will just show up for you every single week. And of course, if you share it with anybody that you think might enjoy it, that makes like genuinely the biggest difference, bigger than any media like being written about or any of that stuff. The most helpful thing you can do is share the podcast with a friend. So thank you so much for everyone for listening, of course. If you have any suggestions on what you'd like roasted, send me a DM on Instagram at Megan Mark. You are welcome to follow my producer at Emma Nolan. Also, you'll find her and when you search it. So guys, thank you so much for listening. We're coming to the final section. Now, I've saved potentially the most insane contribution of all time till the last one, only because I'm quite literally lost for words as to how I'm going to respond to it. So we're going to ease our way there, but it's the final section. Hold tight. Things are about to get a little bit sloppier. Let's go.
Hi, Mark. Love the podcast.
So my story about mad parenting was, as a primary teacher, I was teaching in a school which was in the middle of the town, and every day a mother would come along and at break time and hand a chipper lunch over the fence to her son, who was in I think first class at the time, so he was about 7 or 8. Every single day she would deliver hot chipper lunch, even though in school we were teaching them all about healthy eating and trying to enforce a healthy eating policy, which obviously didn't make much of an impression on her or her son.
Good God.
Oh, I'd be so jealous if I was another kid in that class and I was like, oh, Mikey's getting his chipper delivered at 1 o'clock.
They don't live in East Berlin. You know, it's this is absolutely mental. Squeezing in curry sauce and a spice bag through a chain link fence into your... When you're squirting sweet and sour sauce through a squeezy bottle into the mouth of your son like some sort of seal pup, okay? That's when you need to revisit the food pyramid. I mean, I'm reluctant to make fun of people who may not understand nutrition. Lord knows I don't. I grew up on a diet in my teens of bagel bites, which are these miniature pizzas. They're absolutely delicious. And potato smileys. My aunt Phil used to make them for me. But good God, a hot chipper lunch. You don't live in North Korea where you have to sneak in. You know, you live in East Roscommon. I know which place I choose, but like, you know, you just get brilliant. Like, you can't be sneaking hot chipper lunches into your child at lunchtime.
Did you have a deli in secondary school?
No, we had a tuck. This is outrageous. We had a tuck shop in the junior school, but that had to be shut down because of students insulting the priest.
Brilliant, fabulous.
So it was ran by the priest.
Yeah,
and it was shocking, like genuinely shocking stuff. People were like, "Hiya, father. Could I get a? I'll have a chomp. Could I get a packet of Mighty Munch? Could I get a big fat Willy? Could I also get a Snickers, please?" God, like, sorry. Could I get a Snickers, please, father? So that genuinely got shut down.
Wow.
And then we had a canteen in secondary school. But the canteen was, for the first couple of years, was literally heart attack stuff. It was like, could I get a jambon that's made with like horse placenta? Like the least, probably good for you now, actually, to be fair, horse placenta. But like, it was sausage and a roll, all that sort of stuff. And then one of the mums kicked off in like probably in fourth year, 2006. That was around the invention of YouTube. So she probably saw a YouTube video or like bought one of Gwyneth Paltrow's books and then like signed a petition, and all of a sudden it was like acai bowls and all.
Really?
Yeah, complete. I went to school in South, like in the slop. Yeah, just complete. The epicenter of notions.
I can still smell the deli. You come out of class and you're like, oh my God, they'd have soups and all. But again, like that, I chipper through the fence, not great crack. But in secondary school, when you're left to your own devices, it's like chicken fillet roll, 1 o'clock, someone's nibbling on a sausage roll at 10:30 in the morning. It was wild.
I never understood sausage rolls. In the
Neither do I.
Just get over them. Like, oh, do you want 53 sausages for €4? There's a deal on. No, you're grand. And they're the crusty, dry ass. Like a pensioner's heel with athlete's foot. Do you know? So
never look at a sausage roll again.
Sneaking the chipper through the fence. There's something romantic and desperately melancholic about that. Let's go.
So I snuck into my daughter's classroom. She was 10 at the time. While everybody else was in assembly, and I finished off her homework that she didn't get done the night before. I was mortified. The teacher walked in, caught me red-handed. Room 2, I'll never forget it because it's the same room I go to today to vote.
Oh my God.
Mission impossible. Mission implausible. You don't need... This is completely insane. The reward here is dwarfed by the risk. Sophie didn't do her long division. So what? Her mum sneaks in fashioning a ninja ensemble out of the latest Lululemon fit or the fourth arc pull-up. Like, this is just let it go. I don't... Your child shouldn't be shouldn't fear not doing homework that bad.
Yeah, no, I hear you. Although it is something I probably would do myself, I can imagine.
Really?
Oh, yeah. If I was taking on the secondhand anxiety of my kid, I don't know. I don't think I'd be capable of it because I'd be too anxious. It's kind of a whole thing. But I think it's legendary behaviour from a mother to be that brazen.
It is, but there's a fine line. It's like growing up where people be like, oh yeah, this is great. Damo's dad always buys us drink. And you're like, oh, that's great crack as a 13-year-old. Okay. Now you're like, Damien, I'd like a word, please.
Fair.
Do you know what I mean? I'd like a word, Damien. Lovely. Love the tattoos, by the way. No, you can't. Okay, let's go.
Hi, Mark. So, I'm a teacher in a secondary school. And during parent-teacher meetings, we have mentors, older girls, who show the parents around to each classroom, etc. We have two campuses in our school, and one student was showing a parent around and noticed that there was movement where the cars are parked, and on further investigation realized that a parent, a mother, had squatted down between the two cars and was taking a pee. When questioned about this, she didn't seem to see any trouble, pulled up her pants and proceeded to walk off. This is despite the fact that there is toilets literally less than a minute away from where she was. But no, she decided to squat in between the two cars. So there you have it. Just a little selection of some of the people we encounter every day in our schools. Love the show, Mark. Thank you. Bye.
That sounds more like a kink.
Ah, do you think?
Yeah, I think it's a kink.
Yeah.
Maybe for someone to drink.
Ooh.
What do you think? If she was stuck, she was stuck. You know, I've got the bladder of a 94-year-old, but if this lady says that the bathroom's within walking, like, you know, I don't understand why you... Squatting down between two cars, good luck. No thanks. No chance.
Oh, I've done it.
Have you?
Well, not like out of choice. I mean, like, you know, when you're, again, bringing it back to Electric Picnic, the place you go and you just don't get it. But when you're in the car park and you're dying to get in, like, to get in, there's no portal around. Look left, look right, have a wee.
The Portaloos and Electric Picnic are potentially it's the most existentially humbling experience in the world. If you suffer from any form of mental ailment, right, be it anxiety, depression, despair, NUI, anything, okay, go to a festival, wait until you really need to go to the toilet, and then go to the toilet in one of those cubicles. All the wishes, wants and desires and former dreams and worries and concerns that you had in your life will just completely disappear in that moment. Because all you will be thinking is, oh my God, this is the worst, singular worst experience of my life. If I can get out of here alive and unscathed and untouched by the excrement and death, just everything around me, I will be grateful for my existence forevermore. And then, by the way, there is no feeling more terrifying and harrowing than when you're sitting on a toilet at, or hovering above it, by the way, at a music festival, and all of a sudden you hear this bang, like, oh my, the terror as if nobody's ever experienced a terror like that in the door since Oscar told the story. This was not, no, you can't, but like when somebody banging on a door when you're in there, and because they've yet to invent a socially acceptable phrase to say when you're in the loo and someone bangs on the door, so all you sort of goes, occupied, someone's in here. Do you know what I mean? You don't know what to say. So you sit there panting with sweat forming on your upper lip and you're like, this is the worst fucking thing ever. I want to go home. And you go home. Emma, go home.
Let's go. There was a wee boy who lived near me growing up whose mommy was obviously insane and used to get him to do poos. If he needed to do shite in school, he'd have to do it into a plastic bag standing up. In the bathroom, obviously, but he'd do it and bring it home. And every day, one day, as a joke, I took it out of his school bag and decided to stamp on it at the back of the class, and it splattered all over the back wall. And we ended up having to do the rest of the day in the PE hall, doing PE, running around the place because the teacher's eyes kept watering every time she went to clean it up. So, all because that little boy's mommy was completely insane. So, yeah.
This is like the origin story for Bobby Sands they don't tell you in history class. Oh.
I'm so confused. Why? At the beginning, before we get to the splatter, why?
The mum says, you should use this plastic bag. Yeah, why? Yeah, sorry. Why is she holding on to it?
Why? For what?
Did she say, use this plastic bag because I don't want the other kids seeing you doing it standing up? Because they'll...
Why would you ever have to do it standing up?
Why would you ever need to do it standing up?
Why would you need to bring it home? Is she investigating it at the end of the day?
People are genuinely so mental.
That one's a very upsetting.
But also, by the way, sorry, this person then going, I grabbed... So obviously I had no choice but to grab the bag of shite from your man's JanSport. To grab the Jan... Speaking of JanSports, when are the Spanish students actually...
I saw some.
Did you?
Last week. They've arrived.
What is it with Spanish students and loving JanSport bags, Metallica, and of course, body odour? But anyway, no, you can't have a go with the Spanish. We love the Spanish. But like, this kid then being like, oh yeah, so obviously I just took the bag of shite outside and just jumped on it like it was a trampoline and splattered all the shite all over the all over the back of the wall. And you know, that's none of this would have happened though if it wasn't for the mum being mental. No, that was also mental. There's loads of mental going on here.
But I think at that age, if there's a bag of poo in like Dawn's bag, it's going to happen.
Yeah, that's true. If you've got a bag of poo, you know what you're going to do. Good luck.
Call the guards on that.
Definitely call the guards. Call your dad.
My dad.
Take off the wig. Grab the phone that's strapped to your head. Get on to the dad. Pick it up. Thank you so much for listening to The Weekly Rose, guys. Really appreciate it. If you enjoyed the show, let me know. Send me a DM on Instagram at Megan Mark. If you have any suggestions on what you'd like to hear roasted in the show, send me a message. And as you know, every single week, the question box goes up on Sundays. That's where you can send in your stories. But you can send in your stories any day of the week. And again, I just really want to thank you all for listening. It's such an exciting time for the show. There's lots of bloody exciting things happening, and there really is, but we just can't announce them yet. But I want to thank you all, because none of this would be happening if it wasn't for you. So have a great week, mind yourselves, and I'll talk to you soon. Take care.